Well, this is the fifth week of our series called Rebuilt Faith. Over the course of this series, we have been looking at five proven steps that we can take to strengthen our faith, or if need be, rebuild it. As we've been saying, our faith is all about having a relationship with Christ and becoming more like Him. That's what the five steps are intended to do. So 3 weeks ago, we started out by saying that Jesus came to serve and not be served. So one important way that we can become more like Christ is by developing more of a servant's heart and looking for ways to alleviate the burdens of other people. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the step of tithing and giving, another step that you can take. Jesus said that our hearts and our money are closely connected. So as we grow in financial generosity, we inevitably become more like Christ Himself. Then last week, we talked about the step of engaging in a Christian community. We said that we all need friends in faith to keep us grounded and to encourage us to follow Jesus even more closely, and also to hold us accountable if we start slipping or drifting away. Today, I want to talk with you about the fourth step you can take, and that is practicing prayer. I think it's safe to say that we all desire to connect with a power greater than ourselves. Talking to the one who created us and loved us and gave us life is a profound and universal human need. People of all traditions and cultures and faiths and backgrounds turn to prayer in times of need, in moments of gratitude, and in periods of worship, because prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful, and it is at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. Right now in our parish, you probably know, we are in the middle of a great spiritual campaign for Lent. We're together reading through a book called Rebuilt Faith, and we're talking about it in small groups. We've had many people sign up for these small groups, and we're going through this spiritual campaign together. I hope you're enjoying your small group if you're in one, and I would invite you to consider staying in past Lent for our spring semester, because we've got two powerful message series coming up that will take us all the way through the beginning of June. I encourage you to consider continuing on this faith journey in your group. You know, when we started planning this spiritual campaign, we knew that organizing something of this magnitude would be a huge lift for us. So we got together a whole team of people to help us. Our small group's leadership team is crackerjack. They're top-notch. We've got an excellent data director. We have an experienced communications and marketing manager. We have a highly committed campaign director. And we have an extremely extroverted, unrelenting, won't take no for an answer small groups coordinator by the name of Jim. You've probably met him or at least talked to him on the phone. We have a great team. But we realized that if we were going to be successful, we needed people to pray for the success of the campaign. We needed a prayer warrior, someone to lead prayer for us. That person turned out to be Kieran. When I asked her, Kieran went to work right away, and she organized a group that met in our Adoration Chapel every day to pray for the success of our campaign. We had an ambitious goal. If we met that goal, it would mean tripling the number of people in our small groups program before this campaign started. That's three times the number. It was a huge, ambitious goal, but I felt convicted. I believed God was going to make it happen. The Holy Spirit came down, and the team was on fire. Every one of our volunteers worked overtime, countless hours, to make sure we met that goal. It was more than a full-time job for them. But ultimately, we all knew that it was up to God. And in the end, our success would come and depend not on only our hard work and commitment, but on the power of prayer. And I'm pleased to report that we not only met that goal, but exceeded it. Thank you, God. Prayer is vital to our lives as followers of Jesus. Prayer is vital to our lives as people of faith. We need prayer. The Bible says to pray unceasingly, pray without ceasing. That means all the time. That's how important prayer is. The problem is that a lot of people struggle with prayer. Prayer doesn't come so easily all the time. Prayer can be hard. It can be really hard. For example, we may not know what to say to God or how to say it. Or we may be shy or feel embarrassed about praying in front of other people, even people we love and trust. Maybe we've tried praying in the past and we just hit a wall. We have a stumbling block in front of us and somehow we can't seem to get past that. Prayer also makes us vulnerable. It forces us to get outside our comfort zone. It forces us to set aside our defense mechanisms and lay our souls and hearts bare before the Lord, humbly acknowledging to Him our weakness and our need. And then another problem with prayer, and this seems to come in every person's life at some point who tries to pray, a moment of crisis, a time of doubt, where it seems that prayer doesn't work. That happened to me many, many years ago, before I was a priest, and I was just embarking on a life of faith, getting back and connected with my faith. I started praying for a friend of mine who was suddenly and out of the blue diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. I prayed for her every day, several times a day. I prayed the rosary. I prayed the chaplet of divine mercy. I prayed the Our Father. I prayed every prayer I could think of. There was no shortage of prayers coming from my heart and from my lips. And yet, in the end, she died anyway. It was a turning point for me in my journey of faith. I had a decision to make. Would I trust God again? Would I still trust in God, even though I could not even begin to imagine how the life of someone so young, so vibrant, so full of life, so happy, someone with a husband and two young children who desperately needed her, could be taken away so suddenly and tragically? Would I still trust in God? After a long period of soul searching, I came finally to understand that there is so much more depth and richness to prayer, even if we don't always get what we think we want. As I learned, prayer really is about developing a friendship with God. It's just that simple and just that hard. It's about connecting with your heavenly friend who loves you unconditionally. The gospel story that we read today, that we heard in Mass today, reminds us of this important truth about prayer. So let me break that story down for you a little bit. Nicodemus was one of the Jewish religious leaders at the time of Jesus, known as the Pharisees. While most of the Pharisees vehemently opposed Jesus, Nicodemus was actually drawn to him. He wanted to learn from Jesus. In order to not break ranks with the other Pharisees, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night in the darkness when no one could see. Maybe you feel that way a little bit today. Maybe you feel like a closet Christian in a world that has become increasingly antagonistic to faith. It's safer to just fly under the radar, not to tell anybody about our faith, and to conceal even the fact that we follow Jesus. But Nicodemus was undeterred. He came to Jesus for insight and instruction. And in the course of their conversation, Jesus goes back to a story in the Old Testament about the ancient Israelites being led through the desert by the great Jewish leader, Moses. God had just freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. He provided food and water for them in the desert, but still they complained and grumbled against God. It got so bad that at one point they were thinking about turning back, returning to Egypt, because the food there, they thought, was better. So God sent serpents to them to show them how complaining and grumbling against God could damage their friendship with the Lord. The serpents attacked and bit many people, but even then, God had mercy. God told Moses to construct a bronze serpent and mount it on a pole. It became a symbol of the people's sin. And everyone who looked at that bronze serpent was healed of their sin. And Jesus turns to Nicodemus and he says, in the same way, everyone who looks upon the Son of Man lifted up on the cross will also be healed. We have all been bitten by sin, but we have all been healed by the one who was lifted up on the cross by laying down his life for us. Jesus bore the consequences of our sins. He suffered for our selfishness, the times we've gossiped, the times we've lied and stolen and cheated, the times we've acted in anger or hurt other people. The Bible says that by his wounds we have been healed. By his stripes we have been given the possibility of eternal life and the fullness of life in this life. Jesus took on our sins in order to restore our friendship with God. And Jesus said that this all happened because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life, might not perish, and might have eternal life. This is by far the most quoted verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16. You see it everywhere. You see it at football games. You see it on billboards, at least in the South where I come from. And you might be surprised to learn that you see it, if you look closely, on the In-N-Out hamburger bags. John 3:16, God so loved the world. You go In-N-Out. If I were still eating meat, I'd go get one right now. Anyway, this is the core message of our faith. And what we really need to share with everyone, this message. But for us today, the point is that it is through prayer that we connect with this God who gave us his only begotten Son. It is through prayer that we connect with the Son of God who laid down his life for us in order to restore our friendship with God. God longs for our friendship. He wants us to tell him all our needs. He wants us to lay on him all of our concerns and our problems and all of our hurts. It is through prayer that we draw near to God, our friend. And when we can begin to think of prayer in these terms, it changes from something we think we have to do to something we get to do. We're privileged to do, we want to do. The thing about prayer, though, like everything, is that it takes practice. Prayer, like everything worthwhile, takes practice. So I just want to offer a few practical tips and suggestions, just a few things for you to consider about practicing prayer. First and foremost, you can't pray unless you set some time aside. A little bit of quiet time. It doesn't have to be long. You can start with 5 minutes. I do every morning. A lot of people do. You won't even know the time going by. Just set aside some quiet time with God. And if you're wondering what you might do in that quiet time, if you're just getting started on prayer, you're not sure what to pray, because, you know, I've talked to so many Catholics who say that they pray on Sundays, but not really during the week. So if you're struggling with that and you're not sure what to do, there's lots of tools and resources out there. One of the great resources are all the apps that you can download on your smartphone. Hallo is one of the best apps I've seen. It will help you pray. And they just did something great. They just had an amazing Super Bowl ad in the 2024 Super Bowl. Take a look at it.
God, we take this moment just to give you thanks. We thank you for this time to come together as a family, as friends, and as a country. Help us, Lord, especially this Lent, to grow closer to you. Amen. Join us in prayer this Lent on Hallo. Stay prayed up.
It doesn't get better than Mark Wahlberg and Jonathan Rumi, Jesus in The Chosen, telling us to pray. If Hallo can get 100 million people to pray for 30 seconds, they can get us praying too. But there's also other resources out there, lots of books. There's the Rebuilt Faith book that we're all reading, and if you haven't gotten it yet, you can still get it on Amazon. And this week in Rebuilt Faith, they're going to be really focusing on all kinds of ways of praying and really giving us some practical tips and suggestions to start praying or to deepen our prayer life. So there's all kinds of resources, and there's one more that I want to share with you, a little bit of some grassroots advice. You might not know that every Thursday I gather here with a team of parishioners, and as I stumble through the first draft of my homily, and they give me feedback and suggestions on how to improve. I rework the homily on Friday and then, you know, rehearse it, and then of course it's perfect by Sunday, right? Well, anyway, so we asked that team of people if they could offer some advice about how they pray. So I just want to offer a few things of what they said. One person said, you know, when I pray and I'm having a good day, I say, thank you, God. When I'm struggling or having a rough day, I ask God for strength. And then I say, God, I know you have a plan for my life. Could you give me a hint as to what it is? And if that doesn't work, that person says, could you give me another hint? Another person said that when they're having a bad day, they look at a picture of Jesus and say, could you help me out here, please, Lord? Raw and honest. That's the way God wants us to talk to him, to be honest with him. Another person said that they wake up every morning asking God for the grace to hear his whisper, him whispering to them, instead of all the noise out there in the world and the noise going on in our heads. And then finally, one other person said that they ask God to give them what God wants to give them, not what they want, because then they'll never be disappointed. Some good homespun advice from people on the ground. The one thing I would say to you, my overarching piece of advice about praying, if you're struggling with it, is this. Speak to God like he's your friend, because he is. You don't need fancy language or big words. You don't need complicated theology. Just talk to him like a friend. Thank him on the good days. Be angry with him on the bad days. Ask for his help when you're struggling. He wants to be your friend. And as you grow in your prayer life and you deepen that prayer life, I invite you also to consider putting your prayer into action if you're not already. Remember those other steps we covered. Serve others, tithe and give, engage in a Christian community. And, as we'll talk about next week, share your faith. Share your faith in the God you love with the people you love. We'll talk about that next week. See you then for our last episode of Rebuilt Faith.